Blog Talk Radio.
Chatter, chatter. This is Just Ray. We're just doing this first show. We're going to talk about the holidays. This is my co-host.
Will 93 is here, present. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm a creative artist, director. I do a lot of artwork, and I hear a lot of conversations, so I thought I would bring that into popular culture and on this podcast, talking about the different types of holidays we're having. So, Mr. Will. Will's my mentor, by the way. For our listeners.
What's happening?
Yeah. Hey man, so have you heard anything about the new holidays that they got? I mean, we have Hanukkah, there's Kwanzaa, and then there's what else? What have you heard?
Oh, I mean, that's pretty much it around this time, man. I mean, you know, 'tis the season to be jolly, and whether you're into Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or Christmas, I mean, you know, there's something for everybody. Hey.
Right. And I mean, but also, like, I know that you're on the other side of the country, like you're in the more southern states. Being in L.A., there's all these different cultures. So we got, like, Diwali, which is a Hindu one. And, of course, there's Hanukkah all throughout L.A. But there's been this one I've been hearing about, like, from different comedian stuff, the Zwart Piet. Have you heard of this one?
No, man. Tell me about that one.
Oh, so basically, bro. In like Sweden or like the Norwegian states, they basically dress up as blackface and parade through the streets celebrating the Christmas holiday.
Ooh. Couldn't do that down here in the South, man. You just can't fly that way here, man. But I mean, you know what, to each his own, man. I mean, everyone wants to celebrate the holidays and become a little bit more festive and get involved and dress up and travel and be around family and friends. So, you know, he's their own, man, you know. You said Swarpe,
well,
I'll just check that out.
Well, here's
man.
The thing. I think there might be like a, maybe like a, some sort of open ignorance, or I don't even know you want to call it ignorance. It's just a lack of understanding of how racism exists in different countries. So maybe that's why,
mm-hmm.
like, it can possibly fly like that, but damn. There are people, like black people, in those countries that are protesting. I don't know if that's the majority or if it's the minority.
Well, let's look at things on a perspective, if you
okay.
would.
Okay.
Right. Let's look at the flip side of that coin. Blackface
right.
here in the United States may have a different meaning than it would be in the European corridor.
All right.
It may have a different connotation, a different meaning altogether. So where some people may get a little bit more on the sensitive side now in this 21st century social media platform, you know, I guess I would have to look at the origins of the reason for blackface there, you know, and just try and get a better understanding because the meanings are totally different from one country to the next.
So in that terms, what do you mean? Like, for instance, like, because I don't think that, I don't know, this might be a very uncomfortable topic, like how, like, the Africans may have, like, traveled up to the northern parts of that side of the world or in those continents.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that might be a thing, or trying to understand, like, how that might have worked or if there was slavery in that area and how that was treated back then. And bring it into modern times.
Right, right. And that's where you do the research. I think in this day and time, Ray, I believe that you choose to be offended. You choose to whether or not you want to take on being offended by a certain situation. So again, you know, once you look at the history of it, and I just want to keep it open-minded until I have more information and learn more about it, because you said, well, mm-hmm. there could have been slave trade. that could have been an invasion of the country, similar to like Spain and Italy did with the Moors who came in from Africa. So, you know, just to keep an open mind to it until we know more about it. Yeah, I'm a little, like I said, I'm an open-minded guy. So, you know, I try and be as optimistic as possible.
But here's the thing, but also we're talking about modern times. So even like, for instance, like I think there is the H&M company, right? And they just recently had that issue where they had the ape or my little monkey. Well, they had the black kid with the sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, if that's a problem internationally, why isn't something like that, like, internationally, and why isn't that addressed? Or do people even, like, really, like, care, and they're just like, we're going to do what we want anyway? Because, like, not a lot of people are, like, standing up for it. But in other cultures, like, they'll stand up for it, and they'll just be like, nope, we're not having that. You cannot do that, not there, not anywhere. But I think that maybe our people just maybe need to say something or not, or figure out some type of way to go about that in the right manner to make it more acceptable or non-acceptable. I don't know. Maybe our listeners or somebody might want to chime in on that.
And, yeah, you know what? And I agree to you when it comes down to those kind of respects. I think more people, more minorities are speaking up when it comes down to offensive scenarios, offensive languages. Most of that started kind of like with Black Lives Matter or the Me Too movement. I see that people are coming into their voice, and that's a great thing because, you know, you don't want to stifle one's voice or one's sense of expression. And that's one side of the coin. And then the other side of the coin is intent versus design.
Right.
I think a lot of people's intent was not to offend, but if they were not educated to it, their design may have that automatically. And it just becomes problematic. And I just think it just takes more cultural training, more cultural education to a matter, maybe asking peer groups to see, hey, do you know what? Does this offend? Could this potentially be seen, this design, even though our intent is to go this way, will the design of it ultimately send us somewhere else? And then we have this problematic moment. Yeah, yeah.
And then how long do we allow that design to, like, go on, like, into, like, years, decades, centuries, hoping that it'll, like, last and not necessarily offend, like, other people in some shape or form or fashion?
I think that comes down to time. I think only time will tell on that. Something that was maybe offensive maybe in the 70s, or no, I take that back. Something that was not seen as offensive in the 70s may be heightened offensive now. In this whole season of being what we call, quote, woke, people are starting to find that there are some slight offenses there, and they're speaking up on it quicker. So I think if I was looking at something like a design, like H&M, I might want to say, you know what, let me ask this community, does this offend? Because if you're not from that community, you wouldn't have any idea of whether or not it is.
So wait a minute. Let's back up a minute. So here's this term I keep hearing, right? So we have the different holidays. Okay, so we're talking about the Jwar Pete. We're on that thing, right? So then there's Kwanzaa.
Yep.
There's Diwali,
yep.
Winter Solstice, Las Posadas, Diwali, and I think there's Krampus, and then there's St. Nicholas. So, but here's the thing. In seeing all those, people are what you call quote-unquote woke. Like, what are we talking about? Like, is woke mean like you have a distinct understanding on how each of those individual things work, or you have a distinct understanding on how things work in general? Or does that mean that you're walking around with your eyes open? Or what are we saying when we say that? Because there's a lot of people that say that they're woke, but then when you ask them questions, they're just like, I don't know. But you think that they know everything, but you can't possibly have like all knowledge of all things that exist, like be a fully on sapient individual. That's kind of challenging. So I don't. So what are we saying when we say that we're woke?
Okay, so to say that, well, and I can only look at my interpretation.
Okay, all right.
To be woke, to me, would say that I have a heightened awareness of incidents, occasions, lifestyles that I want to be aware of, so that I don't offend, and then also call out people who are being offenders, repeated offenders of those same cultures. So let's give an example to that. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, like, when you say calling people out, that kind of, like, creates a sort of, I don't know, unnecessary conflict when you can spend better time doing other things when you value your time. Or do you do that in order to, like, help things? Which one is it?
Does it have to be one or the other? That's the thing about being woke. I mean, I would say I've had white friends approach me about voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
And they're speaking to me about voter suppression as, you know what, this is a major crime within America. This is a great stain on America. And we should go to those lawmakers and call them out for their support of voter suppression via voter registration. And I get mm-hmm. that. And I understand that. That is something that, you know what, that goes across all the boards. So whether it's Black, Asian, Hispanic, Armenian, you know, hey, yes, this is a great thing that we should be doing. We should eliminate this voter suppression and allow everyone who is capable of voting to vote. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that meant for me to be in Kentucky and go to Mitch McConnell's house and picket his house, that may be a little bit too much.
That's questionable.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it may be a little bit too much because this is his personal residence. But, you know, to go to his office and lobby for legislation change, hey, that seems like a proper motive for it. So I think being woke, per se, and pursuing calling people out for negative actions is a good thing, but to an extent.
And also, I don't know, I think maybe chiming into that, I think maybe calling people out on being woke might be something related to just talking to somebody that's directly in your circle of influence. Like, you don't want to, like, go like way out of your circle. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to go powwowing, like, doing that because it distracts you from doing the things that you're probably doing on a daily basis. You're just, like, calling people out, like, you need to be more woke. You need to be more woke. And then people are like, damn, this dude is crazy. Doesn't he have time for other stuff to do? Like, what are we doing?
Well, I mean, what you are doing is bringing up awareness. And some people in your immediate circle or maybe your second-tier circle, they may be mm-hmm. on the same page as you are. So you might be preaching to the choir. So if you go outside of your normal circle and just strike up a simple conversation, be kind of mindful and respectful for everyone has their own opinion, and you don't want to push your opinion too hard on another. You just want to be able to say enough to maybe possibly change their perspective.
Or maybe add to their perspective, perhaps?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, to add to is to make some kind of slight change. But then in the same sense, you know what? Maybe it's something that they don't care about. Maybe they don't lose any sleep over voter suppression. They could care less about it because it doesn't, to them, in their eye, immediately affect them. So
you know what's really important? Like
that.
I heard a family member say something like this. They were saying like, at least you said it and you were heard versus like you're not saying anything at all.
You could say that. But then at the end of the day, you said it, but were they paying attention to you? Were they actively listening to you? Or was it just something where they kind of agreed just to get past the conversation and move to something else?
But isn't that kind of like, I don't know, kind of like the same thing as like vicarious sound? Like you kind of heard a song, right? And then it gets in your head. You're just like, I heard that tone, and it just sticks in your head. So it's kind of like planting that nefarious little like seed of whatever that is, or like that new idea of like a new way to celebrate a holiday, whether it's with friends or family. Or that's like their way of how they do things.
And so with that being said, again, it sends you back to perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sends you back to what is someone's belief system. We could sit back and go even larger, and we see this big divide amongst, you know, conservatives and liberals. And there's so big of a divide that it's barely why even bring people to reason. Why bring people to the middle ground to even say, okay, well, here's some things that we may have in common and build upon those.
Right.
It's just, you know, again, everyone has their opinion and they think that their opinion could be somewhat factual and, you know, and they're not budging.
Right.
I think in order for you to effectively have change when it comes down to holidays is start off with some common dialogue and then bring up some ideas and see if it changes perspectives.
So then, I mean, but then that kind of like brings us to also like a conversation starter is what is the difference between, I don't know, would you say like, is it the baby boomers versus the millennials and how they're celebrating holidays? Are they doing it with their friends? Are they taking it back to traditional celebrations with just family? Like, what are they doing versus, like, what the old school, or what we might call old school, maybe baby boomers, they want to hang out with their family and just, you know, party up and drink. And partying up doesn't necessarily mean just drink. It just means, like, just getting together with people that you love and you genuinely want to be around versus, like, the same thing, but they're not necessarily, like, family members.
Well, okay. Well, so then you have the baby boomers, and the baby boomers were kind of open-minded in themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let's really look at where the baby boomers are coming from.
Well, maybe I might need to correct myself. So maybe it's not baby boomers. Maybe it might be Gen X or Gen Yers. Not necessarily.
The Gen X is your. Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out, like, where are we at? Like, you're Gen Xer. I think we're both Gen Xers. Or Gen Y?
Yeah, I'm Gen X.
So, like, the Gen X is, like, the 80s people.
65 to 80, yeah.
Okay. So, we're Gen Xers.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of dating myself. But, anyway. So our thing is either, I think we're kind of like flexible in that we either hang with extended friends and family that we genuinely want to be around, which goes back to the Malcolm Gladwell thing where it's like you want to hang out with 150 people that you can have a drink or dinner with comfortably. Anything outside of that is like extra.
Right.
I don't know. Have you heard of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have, but we have to look at each generation had its own set of priorities.
Right.
So, you know, before the baby boomers, you had like what they looked at as the greatest generation ever. This was during the World War II effort. You had more people volunteering, more people who were looking at providing to the bigger picture. Now it's the victory over the Axis forces. They were willing to lay their bodies down for, you know, God and country at that point. And for them to come home, they came home to a very conservative period where there was some great deal of prosperity post-World War II. And that led into
right.
the baby boomers. So with the baby mm-hmm. boomers, their war was Vietnam. And Vietnam was the very first war that really had, you know, the TVs inside of the war effort. And so it became a war of public opinion. And even though we won many battles in Vietnam, we lost in the view of public opinion.
So the millennials
now are kind of on the mindset of the baby boomers in their time period, that kind of rebel without a cause kind of thing.
Right. And they're just like, we don't really give up about anything. We're going to make our own way no matter what, because no one
that
else
far.
Is like really looking out for us. And maybe an old head might come along and be like, okay, here's some advice for you or whatever. And then they make the choice whether to listen to it or not based upon their experiences and their reality that's around them.
Correct. Correct. And that's the thing.
Okay.
It's like with the millennial age, they were born into the internet. They were born
right.
into technology. They didn't have to go through the struggles that maybe us in the Gen X period who created the internet. Or even
right,
the
and
baby
having to
boomers.
Ask like questions to
yeah.
every individual, going to all the old heads and asking like, okay, what is this or whatever. Instead, they can just go to Google and be like, well, how does this work? And they can just learn it.
Right. Right. So we simplified the lifestyle. I mean, our Google was encyclopedias. You know,
or maybe,
if you were
or maybe
fortunate enough,
a great grandmother
to...
or great grandfather sometimes.
Yeah. Way back when, baby, I used to do this,
right.
you know, back in the outhouse. But, you know, like I said, you know, technology has made the millennials' life much better, but they still could have that rebel without a cause that the baby boomers had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, let's see. I think baby boomers were millennials without technology.
Right. So even so,
and
let's,
so,
so bringing it back. I think there's so
yep.
many like different, it feels like there's so many different traditions. I said,
mm-hmm.
I was talking to a coworker and they were just
mm-hmm.
like, some people just aren't celebrating because they have like cognitive dissonance. They're just like, I'm just going to go to a friend's house and just, I don't know, play video games or watch movies or just hang out.
Mm-hmm. Could
so,
be. I mean, the family dynamic might be different too.
Right.
I mean, you know, with the Gen X years, there was an increasing rate of divorce.
Right.
You have less people believing in religion. I mean, I think right now there's about 23-25% of the nation doesn't even believe any kind of religion or a higher spirit.
That's
you know?
A big chunk.
That's a big chunk, yeah. So you're looking one out of every four. And we're looking at
yeah.
over what? Over 300 million people populating the,
right.
the country? So, yeah, that's
so
an interesting
so
perspective,
that,
man.
Right. So, that 1/4, are we, I don't, it'd be interesting to find out if that 1/4 is it atheist, agnostic, or they just choose not to go on an actual facility for worship?
Good question. I wouldn't know the percentages between the two.
I know. I'm just saying it's just a very interesting thing to find out. And I just want to put this out there, like for the listeners, if you find out and you want to just let us know, just feel free to email us or comment. You know, we
yeah.
would love to find out, especially if you're a statistician. That would be great information to like
That's
know
right.
just for this conversation.
Exactly. Definitely. Definitely want to get some feedback
yeah.
from the listeners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I know this is our first episode, but we're really going to be diving into, like, some very interesting pop culture-like topics. But this one is a very
mm-hmm.
good one, just learning, like, perspectives and, like, from the different generations and understanding, like, who wants to do what as far as, like, when it comes to the holidays and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good information, yeah.
See, I like to have a big family get-together for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Food and fun and playing some games or watch watching some TV, you know, there's always some basketball or football going on, and, you know, and just enjoying the family atmosphere, no matter that dynamic, whether it's brothers, sisters, parents, grandparents, cousins, uncles, you know, just, yeah.
Pause. Game of the holidays. What are you guys playing?
You know, I'm competitive, so I like Monopoly. I love Monopoly.
Favorite properties to own?
I like that St. Charles State in Virginia, just coming around jail. Come and see me.
Oh, is that the green or the orange
yeah.
one?
It would be like a purple group. And then I like the red group too. I think that's Indiana and Illinois. I like them. Kentucky, coming around that corner there. It's just, it's something about coming around the corner. It's like, hey, and if I got some hotels, the color group.
Oh, wow.
Dangerous.
So, yeah, so
dangerous.
Before we wrap up, I think I want to leave mine as I'm Park Place and Boardwalk and getting hotels on those.
Oh,
right when you hit that corner, right before you restart. I love hitting them hard. And that whole block on that side of the board.
Well, I mean, that is the problem with real estate. It really is. It really is, just before you hit go.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I'm scot-free. Nope. Give me $500.
Nope. I need that. Run me that.
I need that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If I can get the whole corner, though, if I can get that whole corner, it's great. That light blue group and the purple group, that means anywhere you hit around that corner is mine.
One of the games that we play with my family and extended family is Cards Against Humanity.
Ooh. Ooh, you're trying to destroy relationships right now.
Oh, no, no. What's interesting is that when we played, Grandma won. We celebrated
really?
Her. It was great.
Oh, my.
I haven't got to the red box or the blue box or the green box. We just got the intro. But I think the intro is enough. I'm not sure if I'm ready for the red box. That might be next level. I'm cool. I might
next
be kind of cool on that. Yeah, yeah. Have you played Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
so you
I
understand.
Have.
It is disturbing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's disturbing that Grandma won when we played from the extended side of the family. I'm sure my grandma would have played it. And, and I know my mom, she would enjoy it too, for sure.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. So
we're
about to like cut out live for the last 2 minutes. Before we go, I just want to give a thank you for TrueTribeRadio.com for letting us do this.
Yes. Thank you.
And for my IG, if any of the listeners want to hit me up, I'm Just Ray Unplugged. That's two S's, unplugged as spelled. You can hit me up and let me know. Will, do you want to like plug your IG?
Of course, man. It's Big Will 93. That's BIGG underscore Will WILL underscore 93. That is where you will find me on the IG.
Right. So the listeners, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we're going to do the show Scatter Chatter. It's basically about pop culture and random topics. We're going to be wrapping up in a minute. And we're going to shut it down. Feel free to call in, email, comment on any of the older podcasts. We're going to archive them, and then that's going to be it. We have a minute. Will, any last-minute remarks about the holidays?
Man, I just want everyone to enjoy their holidays, however you celebrate it, wherever you're celebrating. I thank you so much for taking time out to listen to us. Let us vibe with you. Come into your homes, come into your cars, come into your offices, and just keep listening out for us. Again, I thank you guys so much. Happy holidays to each and every one of you out there listening.
Yeah. I want to say the same, and also I want to say reach out to everybody that you love and all your friends and family. Don't leave anyone out, and just be good to each other. And that's it.
That's, right.
That's all I got for this episode. So we'll tune in next Wednesday at 8 p.m. And then we'll see you guys and hit us up on our Instagrams. We look forward to hearing from y'all. Have a good one.
Take care. Peace.